From this dimension of the holiest of all, we suddenly realize there is a stream flowing out, working its way out through my life. And that is the Christian life. It's from where I live. In other words, the Christian life is not a work I do for God. It's an atmosphere in which I live that cultivates a harvest for God. And that's why later on in Galatians he says, the works of the flesh are these, but the fruits of the Spirit are these. And the fruits of the Spirit are cultivated in the holiest place of all. When Aaron was challenged whether he was a true priest or not, they took his stick. Now, he had a walking stick. Now, this is a very plastic place here, and you can't see much wood in this room. In fact, all the wood you can see is made of plastic. You know, this is typical of a country without many forests. But you do have, but there's some wood here. Now, if I put this wood in the ground here in Singapore, would it produce leaves and branches? No, it wouldn't, would it? The ground of Singapore is beautifully fertile and it rains so much and it's good soil. But if I put this wood in the soil, it will never grow again. It's dead. Well, Aaron put his stick in the holiest of all. He had this old stick. He'd had it for years. And in one night, the holiest of all brought it back to life. And there was resurrection. It rose from the dead. It grew branches and it grew buds and it grew flowers and it had almonds growing on it. It had this beautiful fruit. You could pick them and you know, wow, they tasted good. I'm sure that, I don't know if Aaron ate one the next day. Wow, this is really good. But what it was the incredible power of God's presence to so permeate a dead, dry old stick. And if I call you a dead, dry old stick, you will excuse me, won't you? But that's what we are. We're dead, dry old sticks. And you could look at us and say, well, what good can come out of them, you know? What good can come out of him, you know? But the point is, when you get into the holiest of all produces life from the dead. And your life is now, it's the fragrance, the smell, the joy, and then the fruit. The Christian life under the new covenant has secrets that make it so easy to be a Christian. And the greatest secret of all is the secret of the holiest place. When you find that place, you want to be there every day. Now, you could say, well, I'm there by faith all the time, brother. I don't go in and out. I'm there all the time. Yes, by God's grace we are. But the point is, I want to know it experientially, day by day. I want to go there. I want to know the glory. I want to know the power of it. Well, this leads us on to the next section, which is the third session, the blood of the covenant, John 6, and the communion, the kingdom, the bread, and the wine. And now we can just look quickly into John's Gospel, chapter 6. And the bread and the wine. Now here in chapter 6 of John's Gospel, he's explaining the bread and the wine. These symbols, bread and wine, they come throughout the Bible. You find them, for example, when Melchizedek came to Abraham, he brought the bread and the wine, the symbols of the new covenant. When Joseph was in prison, really like a picture of Christ, in the prison, the butler and the baker were with him. The butler had the wine and the baker was the bread. And you remember they had these dreams. And the butler had the dream. He said, I had a great dream last night. And what does it mean? And he dreamt about three branches and the grapes. And he took the grapes and he pressed them into a cup and so on. And then Joseph said, I know the interpretation of the dream. He said, in 3 days' time, you are going to be restored back to the throne of Pharaoh, and you're going to squeeze these grapes, put them in his cup, and you're going to put the cup to Pharaoh's mouth, and he's going to drink from it. And that's a picture of the resurrection. In the resurrection, Christ poured out the fresh worship of his blood into the Father's mouth. And he is the governor of the feast. Then the baker said, wow, that's tremendous. Oh, good answer, good answer. Well, I've had a dream too. I dreamt I was carrying three baskets on my head and the birds came and they pecked the bread. What does my dream mean? And Joseph said, I'm really sorry. But in 3 days' time, your body is going to hang on a tree. You'll be dead. Crucified, not crucified, but hanging. But every curses everybody who hangs on a tree. The body is hung on the tree. The spirit is raised to everlasting worship. And there you've got again the second time the bread and the wine. And these symbols are then carried right through into the New Testament when Jesus inaugurated the communion, the bread and the wine, and they're there. We can interpret them from the Old Testament. The wine referring to this resurrection life and the body, that the body of sin is destroyed and now we are a new body and so on. All these wonderful truths come through these Old Testament scriptures. There is another Old Testament scripture. In the tabernacle, they had something called the showbread. And every day they were to bake, I think it's one loaf for each tribe, 6 loaves of bread. I think it's 12 loaves of bread, 6 and 6. I think I've got that right. But anyway, they had the showbread. The word showbread isn't an English word. If I said, go and buy me some showbread, you wouldn't know what showbread is, would you? Can you imagine going to a baker and saying, can I have 6 showbread, please? He'd say, what's a showbread? The word show in the Hebrew is the word presence. It's the word presence or in the presence of God. So showbread is the bread of the presence. So the bread, when you eat the bread, you are eating the presence. And Jesus said here in this, you must eat my flesh and you must drink my blood. The showbread explains this to us. You must eat my presence. You must let my presence be your food. When I eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus, I am consuming his presence. I partake of the communion when I receive the presence of God into my life. When you sit in your chair and pray and receive the presence of Jesus, you are eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus. A sinner does that when he repents and drinks the presence of Jesus for the first time. But as believers, we eat and drink the presence of Jesus day by day. The word showbread means the bread of the presence. But there is another verse in Leviticus 23, I think it is, when it again talks about the bread, the showbread, and there it uses a different word. It uses the pierced bread. And that's because if you've ever seen bread, you stick fork in it or something, or a sharp instrument, and you make holes in it so that when it rises, it releases some of the inner gases and so on, and it rises. There it is, the showbread. The pierced bread. And then we find put the two together and you find that the bread that we eat is pierced and it's the presence of God.